If you enjoy this podcast, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and visit our website at lifebetweenthevines.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Release Winery. Join us as the story of this ultra-limited wine continues. Learn more at releasewinery.com.
And it was never the goal to make gobs of money. It was a goal, if you would, a quest to make great wine.
And it's the same team, you know, treating every tank and every wine with the same respect. And, you know, same barrel sourcing, same, you know, I help my clients out with finding glass and corks and labels, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it's all in the family to me.
Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 479. This week we feature Jill Ozer, president and CEO of Tannerell Cellars in El Dorado County. Jill Ozer is president and CEO of Tannerell Cellars, a digital brands winery which, other than making great wine, is dedicated to diversity and inclusion. Jill's mission is to bring women of all race, backgrounds, and ethnicities to the front of the wine industry. The dragon logo tells a story, and I spoke with Jill to hear her story of diversity and inclusion just a few weeks ago. I'm on the phone today with Jill Ozer, and Jill is the president and CEO of Tannerell Cellars in El Dorado County. How you doing, Jill?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you today?
Good. When we first connected on the phone, you told me you had snow. How much snow are we talking about there?
I think we got a good 6 inches last night. So woke up with no power and looked out the window, and it is a winter wonderland up here in the Wine AVA of Fairplay in El Dorado County.
Very cool. Roughly, what's your altitude there?
I'm at 2,700 feet at this particular vineyard. So Fairplay inside of El Dorado is probably between 2,000 and 2,700 feet.
Nice. So it's probably not a big surprise you get snow. I imagine you get it from time to time.
Yeah, we usually get a few snow days a year, which I look forward to. Not excited about the power being out, but I love the snow.
No, that's kind of a drag. Does that happen often as well?
It does. I think we're living in a world, especially up here, where, you know, where I'm sitting was only a few miles from the start of the Caldor fire. So the last few years, when it gets hot, PG&E turns our power off. And unfortunately, days like today where the snow is heavy, I'm sure there are plenty of downed trees out there, unfortunately. So I think this was more of a damaged power line than turning it off for safety purposes. But we are getting used to it. So everyone up here owns a generator, and we know how to live with our generators. The only unfortunate thing is there's no water because we all live on well. So when the power goes out, there's no water. So I'm glad we're doing a podcast today, you know, instead of having to be on air since there's no water in the house.
Yeah, that would have been a drag. Good God. Well, this is life in heaven, life in wine country, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about wine in El Dorado County and in Fairplay. What kinds of wine are you making there?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that question because I think not enough people know the phenomenal quality of the dirt and the fruit that comes from El Dorado County. We can grow everything up here. We have, most of California has a Mediterranean climate, but we have no issues with water up here because I think El Dorado County has owned its own federal water rights for a long time. So even in the 7 years of drought, we were selling water. But we can grow everything from all the Spanish varietals, Italian varietals, Portuguese varietals, French varietals, and the California varietals. And people don't realize is about 60% of all of the grapes that harvest literally come off the vines and get in trucks and go down to Napa. And Napa has known the quality of our fruit for a long time. And there's probably a good chance there's some El Dorado fruit in the next bottle of Napa wine that you're drinking if it's not a state. So the quality is fantastic. And because the dirt's so good, we sustainably farm and produce everything. So the bugs and weeds are our friends up here as a beautiful fertilizer. And it's really fun to watch what winemakers can produce up here and create and, you know, really put their heart and soul into what they produce, but the quality is so spectacular.
Yeah, there's always that thing about mountain fruit. People seek that out. Again, this idea of being able to grow so many different wines. Tannerell, what does the name Tannerell mean?
for asking that. So I started Tenneral Cellars to really be part of the change that I wanted to see in the world and in the wine industry. During COVID, I was taking a deep look and said, you know, there's only 10% female winemakers and 0.1% black winemakers, men and women, and female sommeliers are making 70 cents on the dollar to their male counterparts. And while there are women in tasting rooms, there are very few women in leadership positions in the industry, and even fewer women of color. And so I created a brand that was led by our logo, which is a dragonfly. And I've loved dragonflies since I was a kid. And as I've, you know, been some older and more in touch with my own spiritual journey, the dragonfly represents transformation, and it reminds me to be the light. And the word tenneral is an epidemiology word, and it's when a dragonfly comes out of its cast, and its wings are colorless, and it's in its most vulnerable state. And for a few days, it can't fly, but then its wings get its full colors, and it spreads its wings and takes off with amazing power and grace. And for me, that represents so many journeys that women are on, and also just the amazing grit and grace that women embody. And so we're a digitally native vertical brand. So we don't have a tasting room. So we created our own definition of tenneral, which is tenneral is the act of claiming the power within to transform the world with grit and grace, always being, always becoming. And that always being, always becoming is that transformation. I want to be a better version of myself today than yesterday and a better version of myself tomorrow than today. So everything Tenneral does is about elevating women and inspiring change. And we have different female sommeliers that we showcase every quarter, different female chefs that we showcase every quarter that create beautiful recipes to pair with our wines. And we do different themes so that we can literally, when we open up a bottle of wine, we can open up the necessary conversations to be the change that we want to see. And we have different female artists doing our label designs, and we pick a different charity every quarter to give 10% of our profits back to, because, you know, the Global World Economic Forum says if we don't do things disruptively different, it's going to be 208 years for women to achieve global equality. And I don't want that to happen on my watch.
Sure.
So I wanted to use wine as a conduit for change, and that's how Tenneral Cellars was born.
Excellent. That's a great story. And as you mentioned, you know, just simply being able to tell stories, to have these conversations over wine, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the majority of wine is purchased by women, and the industry truly doesn't reflect its largest customer. So for me, I just wanted to create a rethink what it meant to be a wine business and use wine for storytelling and to be that conduit for change.
Sure. Gee, all this time I thought I was the one who was buying the majority of wine. I'm surprised.
Oh, okay. I'm sure you contribute.
Hey, as a quick aside, I don't know, are you familiar with any winemakers up in Boise in Idaho at all?
I'm not.
A winemaker who follows the podcast about a year or so got a hold of me. She and her husband have a small winery in Boise. There are a lot of urban wineries, and she was telling me, I have done a number of interviews by phone up there, that the majority of the winemakers there are women, which I thought was kind of cool.
Well, I think that's fantastic. And it's interesting, too, the majority of students in, you know, viticulture and enology classes are women. So it's time that, though, the industry begins to really bring them in and elevate them and put them in leadership positions. Because, you know, it's interesting. I think there's a statistic that there are more female super tasters than men.
That's what they say.
And nothing against men. Look, men are wonderful, and we need good men in the world. But it's time that we begin to really create some equity in the wine industry. And that's my mission, because in my experience, the most, you know, the greatest conversations I've ever had, there's been a bottle or two bottles or three bottles of wine at the table. And so I want women to really be conscious and intentional about where they're purchasing their wine and where their purchases are going to. And if you can make a purchase with purpose, then that makes it even, you know, a greater transaction. And also your gifting wine to someone else really shows the things that you care about. And so we're led by many belief statements, but, you know, we believe, you know, science is real. We believe love is love. We believe women's rights are human rights and all humans are legal and Black Lives Matter. And we want our themes and even our company to reflect those belief systems that we let lead us.
Excellent. That's very good. Glad to hear that. It's nice to see that kind of action coming from a winery. I also saw that Tonya Pitts is on your advisory board.
Yeah, you know, Tonya has an amazing palate, and certainly for me, she's at the top of her game. I mean, she is the expert of the expert. And so, you know, Tonya, as well as other advisory board members, I've pulled together a real diverse group so that they can you know, help me select the charities that we support. They can really help us with our mission, and also introducing me to other women in the industry so that we can elevate women and inspire change. And I've also asked our advisory board to hold me accountable for diversity, equity, and inclusion, because that's an important part of the mission of Ten Roll Sellers. So I'm so honored to have her, you know, on our advisory board, because she just is the best of the best.
That's very good. Good for you guys. Well, let's talk about your winemaker. Who is making your wine?
Well, we have several female winemakers. So I try to elevate different winemakers. You know, we Ashley Holland is one of our winemakers, who's our current one. And she, I really feel like when you have a female winemaker, you can taste the heart and soul of what they produce. Ashley just put together a white blend for our Healthy Women, Healthy World release, and it had Peak Pool and Muscat and Grenache Blanc in it, and it was absolutely divine. And I'm not sure, you know, I could absolutely be wrong on this, but I'm not sure that a man would put that blend together, and it was just beautiful, and you could taste her heart in that. And so, you know, we really want to showcase the fact that we not only sustainably farm our fruit up here in Fair Play, but also make it that way. And as we grow, I mean, I want to showcase other female winemakers around the world and other female farmers. So it's interesting, as you're bringing up the winemaker from Boise, I'd love to meet other winemakers and then take our community on a wine journey around the world. Because as you probably know, I mean, I could probably go over to Italy or send a winemaker to Italy and produce it over there. And, you know, and with all the subsidies for they have in their country, bring it back in here and probably cost less than producing it over here. So, but it's because I don't have a tasting room and I'm an all-digital company, I can have, you know, I can showcase grapes from all over the world. And I'd like people to be introduced to varietals like a Trebbiano or smaller varietals that you wouldn't find on the shelves in a Safeway, because I think that will really help people with their wine journey, remove the importance of points, you know, remove the importance of only talking about the big Cabernets or things, but really finding things that you love and really having a wonderful wine journey for each person that's experiencing it. I don't want them to have a pretentious wine experience. I think if you are enjoying the wine that you're with and having the kind of experience that got me into the wine industry, then I think that's the perfect experience for you.
And that leads me to my next question. What did bring you into the wine industry? Was there a moment or an influence of some sort?
Yeah, so I came up to Northern California in 1985 to go to Berkeley, so that'll tell you how old I am. but being close to Napa, you know, I also got involved with politics early on and fundraising, and every event I went to, there was great wine at it, and I met a lot of winemakers or winery owners early on that helped me with my own wine experience or journey. But the thing that really brought me to wine was how wine connected people. And I'm a people person, and I love to connect with people. And again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, every great conversation and even some of the toughest experiences of my life, there's been wine on the table. And so I spent 15 years at Special Olympics and had a lot of great wine donated, and I realized that, you know, I could probably do more for charity outside of charity than inside of charity. And so thinking that to use wine as a conduit for change, like what an ideal life that would be, because I could marry my passions of doing well by doing good and my personal professional mission of elevating women and inspiring change, you know, and doing that through wine. And so I've been in the wine industry. I'm an owner of some other wineries that have a couple tasting rooms up here. But for me, the big shifting moment for me during COVID was, you know, as a female leader in the wine industry, what was I doing to be part of the change that I wanted to see in the world? And my previous life experience in nonprofit, you know, I understand especially how millennials and Gen Z expect companies to care about the things that they care about, because most people don't have much faith in our government right now. So it's up to companies to, you know, to be that change they want to see in the world. And why not do that with a wine brand? And why not really, you know, create a company that cares, create a culture that cares about making a difference in the world? And so wine was the perfect vehicle for that for me. I mean, we are a wine company first. We have to produce great wines, but why not use that wine as a conduit for change and really strive to make some real change in the world? And that allowed me for the first time to really show up in full integrity and alignment with who I was. I think often, you know, this industry is, you know, very steeped in tradition. very white male dominated, if we're being honest. And I think a lot of times women leave a lot of themselves at the door, you know, on most days. And I wanted to be able to show up in my greatness. And in order to do that, I had to have my head, my heart, and my gut aligned all the time. And so, you know, being able to use wine and being able to build a business where I am in full alignment and integrity, I really can show up every day and put my best foot forward and operate in my greatness and make a difference in the world.
Well, with all that being said, then who or whom would be your mentor?
I'm a competitive athlete. I played sports in college. I don't know that I have a mentor in the wine industry. I have been so blessed to have some really powerful women. And when I say powerful, it's not power. It's powerful in that they really know themselves. And probably my biggest mentor is a woman by the name of Phyllis Newhouse. She is a service-disabled veteran, military veteran. She is taking two companies public in the last 9 months, both through SPACs, which are special purpose acquisition companies. And she was the first Black CEO to ever take a SPAC public. And Phyllis has always led with her heart and her passion. And she has been the one true friend that calls you out when you're not in full alignment and integrity and holds you accountable. And so I've strived to just sort of follow her footsteps of realizing that we can make a difference every day in what we do, and we have to hold ourselves accountable to a higher standard. And standards, it's what we do in our standards that dictate everything. In the wine industry, I've just been surrounded by some great people. But I bring a business acumen to this, and I'm smart enough to hire great people around me. And so I feel like, you know, I know enough people, and I'm a connector to find the great people in the wine industry. And so, yeah, I'm just trying to think in the wine industry, though. I don't know that I necessarily have any mentors, but certainly know a lot of pretty amazing people.
Actually, that was a very good answer. I don't necessarily think it has to be somebody in the wine industry. It could be simply somebody, obviously, who inspires you, which there you go. So you're good with that.
Thank you.
For the time you've been in the business, is there kind of one big lesson that you've learned, or I kind of get the feeling I already know what your mantra might be, but something that's just stayed with you in terms of specific to winemaking?
Well, I think whether it's specific to winemaking or the wine industry, and it certainly is what I stick with every day, is that you have to believe in what your head, heart, and gut say, because there's a lot of egos and a lot of opinions in the wine industry, as you very well know. And I think that, you know, when you are living your passion and doing it with purpose, I think you need to stick with what you know. And I think that is, for me, I think that was, you know, why I named that Tenoral. I was in a very vulnerable place to actually spread my wings and go out on my, you know, and go out on my own and do what I knew really was necessary to, you know, create equity and inclusion in the wine industry. So, you know, I think you have to follow your own gut and your heart. And, you know, there's neurological data now that shows that those two fire faster than your head. And I think we often get too much in our head. So there are great people out there, but you also have to trust in yourself and find those people that will support you and hold you up even when things aren't, you know, when things are challenging.
Yeah. What's the most unusual advice you've ever been given as a winemaker, as an owner?
Well, everyone wants to give you advice, so I don't know about unusual, but, you know, even in this company, because I'm an all-digital company and I don't have to have 2 years of inventory, it was amazing how many people, you know, told me, you know, were just giving me advice that was the old way of doing things. And so I think for me, it's more of this advice that I constantly get with people trying to force traditional methods of running a business, traditional methods of, you know, producing and selling and all of that. And when, you know, I realized that when you're doing things in a disruptive manner, there's a lot of people that aren't going to agree with you because, you know, there are people that are wired to be entrepreneurs and there are people that aren't. And so I just feel like I need to trust in my own instinct, trust in my advisors, trust in the circle that I have around me, because there are plenty of people that are willing to tell you all the things you're doing wrong or the ways that they're comfortable with, because it's the way they've always done it.
Well, I think it's not unusual, too, in the business where you try something completely different and then everybody around you in the wine business will look at you going, well, what are you, crazy? And, well, I think that's happened more than once where people have been very successful being crazy. Wouldn't you agree?
Without a doubt. Well, let's also look at the first 8 weeks of COVID. There was more growth in e-commerce than the previous 8 years. And our industry is pretty slow with innovation and disruption. And so I think if we look at, you know, examples of other industries that have been faster movers to technology and other ways to connect with your consumer, you know, I felt, you know, just using my business acumen, if I went to an all-digital model, that I really can understand my consumer and my community from, you know, from A to Z on how they purchase and how they engage and how they consume and things that they want, where if, you know, part of my business was online and part of it's in the tasting room and part of it's retail, you really can't control all of that. And so for me, if we're building a movement, I felt like the best way to do that would be to have, you know, a digitally native vertical brand, and that way I can reach my consumer, whether it's women or like-minded people who care about elevating women all over the country, and deliver wine. And when they open it up, then they can open up the bottle and open up the necessary conversation to be that change. So to me, it felt aligned immediately with what I was trying to achieve as the mission of the company. But yes, there were plenty of people that were very uncomfortable listening to a new model.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure of that. Well, seeing how you have no tasting room proper, I assume, though, you do travel for dinners. How do you handle tastings?
Well, we do. So we have a model where we do a lot of wine experiences. And part of my, you know, initiative to have more diversity, equity, and inclusion, I've hired a young woman. I sent her to Cornell to get trained as a diversity, equity, and inclusion trainer. So we do fun wine experiences for, you know, women's conferences, just corporate America, leadership groups. We've done a lot of wine experiences for Fortune 100 leadership, women leadership groups, not just women, so we have different groups as well, or we just do virtual wine experiences. But the one fun thing we do around DE&I is we'll have an hour wine tasting, and we'll talk about wine, we'll teach people how to taste like a pro, but also during that hour, OT, who heads these wine experiences in the diversity, equity, and inclusion portion, she'll ask a lot of questions so that by the end of the hour, people will understand how they're showing up in the world with their conscious and unconscious biases. And it's a great way to kick off, you know, more in-depth trainings that you're doing around diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we also have some really amazing experts in that field so that if companies want to take it further, they can do that and Tenneral Sellers can facilitate that discussion. So we're at a lot of different conferences. We do tons of virtual tastings. Because we have so many different master female sommeliers who are talking about our wines, we certainly have a lot of credibility around the quality and the taste of our wines. But I think as things start to open up, we're going to look at getting out there more just so that people can sample the wines and see how fabulous they really are, because then it's easy to join our swarm club and our movement and be part of, you know, making a difference in the world and getting wines every quarter. And you know, we have our master sommelier, so Jill Zamorski is our current one out of Chicago, and she did a virtual tasting for all of our wine club, our Swarm Wine Club members. And so wine experiences are a big part of it. You know, we just want to connect women, whether it's at a conference or a fireside chat or a celebratory event or even just talking about how women show up in the world and how they lead differently as women.
Emily Wines is the president of the Court of Sommeliers, and obviously this world of sommeliers for most of us wine lovers kind of blows our minds. So she is a great contributor to what you're doing at Tenneral.
She is. So, you know, when I first started Tenneral Sellers, I reached out to Emily, and Wines is her last name. She often pulls out her eighth grade yearbook to prove that. but Emily, I think, was only one of 15 master sommeliers who passed their full exam on the first try. I mean, she is pretty spectacular. And last year she took over as president of the Court of Master Sommeliers when, you know, everything went south with all of the abuse that was happening with a lot of the male master sommeliers. And, you know, the majority of the board resigned, or I think maybe the whole board resigned. She took over. She hired a female executive director to run that. They just went through, as I'm sure you read, all of the investigations, and I think they've permanently you know, expelled a couple of the original founders of the court. But it's important because, you know, the world has put these master sommeliers into a rock star status. Being a rock star doesn't give you the right to be abusive and to take advantage of people that you're supposed to be mentoring. So there's a lot of cleanup that's happening, but she really is at the helm of that and doing a spectacular job in leading and doing the right thing, even though it can't be easy, the work that she has to do. But I'm so grateful for Emily because not only is she on our advisory board, but she is introducing me to so many amazing female master sommeliers, other restaurateurs and people in the business, just a lot of other fabulous women so that we can come together and elevate each other and empower each other and support each other and, you know, and really make a difference. So I'm extremely grateful to her, but she is just phenomenal at what she does. I mean, I love when we do lots of, you know, wine tips with Emily because she is such a master at what she does. It's like one and done every time we film her because she's so spectacular at what she does. So, but she introduced me to Jill Zamorski, who she actually mentored. Jill will say that Emily was her mentor and, you know, Jill wants to make a difference as well. And so it was an easy fit for us to connect and for her to come on board to be our featured master sommelier this quarter.
You've done a great job of surrounding yourself with the right people. That's terrific. My favorite question to ask winemakers, and we always like to do this towards the back end of the interview, for the time you've been in the business, obviously you've done plenty of media and plenty of interviews. What is the one question that you've never been asked that you would like to be asked?
You know, it's interesting in an interview. I think we need to ask each other more, how can we support you? Right. And because for me, if women start supporting each other unconditionally tomorrow as the supermajority, we literally could be that change we want to see and we could cut that 208 years. And so, you know, I think for me, it's, you know, and if I was asked that, I think we just need to be more conscious and intentional about supporting each other. And that goes for the men as well, because equality is good for everyone. When women are successful, everyone is successful. It's like when we launched our Healthy Women, Healthy World release. When women are healthy, our communities are healthy. When our communities are healthy, our world is healthy. And so I think it really is more about how we can support and elevate each other. And I think that's, you know, this industry is not an easy one, and it takes a lot of working capital. It takes a lot of good people. You know, 100% of my vendors are women-owned businesses. And you know, people often don't ask, what am I doing differently as a, you know, as a new winery that's rethinking the wine business? And as Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, when will there be enough women on the Supreme Court? Her answer was, when there are nine. I feel like if we're going to be disruptive, I need to have all women vendors. And that's not so easy. I mean, I had to find a female fulfillment house and a female printer and a label printer and PR firm and lawyers and all down the road. But it's been really wonderful doing that and seeking that out and really showcasing women. And I even had to, you know, rethink what I was doing to get investment in my business, to give women an opportunity to invest, because often women are left out of the investment process, or if they are given the opportunity, they're priced out of it. So I wanted to create inclusion at all levels. And so, you know, that's my way too of supporting others and making sure that I'm surrounding myself and empowering other women.
Excellent answer. Very good. Most importantly, Jill, for our listeners to learn more about you and about Tenneril Cellars, what is your website?
Our website is www.tenneral, T-E-N-E-R-A-L, Cellars, C-E-L-L-A-R-S.com. And check out our wines. We have a beautiful Peace, Love, and Joy collection right now benefiting the World Central Kitchen because they are serving over 38 million people with food insecurity since COVID started. And women and children have been most impacted by COVID, and we want to make sure that no one goes hungry. So $10 from every 3-pack sold of our Peace, Love, and Joy collection will go back to the World Central Kitchen and also to the restaurants that they are supporting. They have kept many women and minority-owned restaurants in business since COVID started by using them to actually serve the food. So we're really happy to support great charities like the World Central Kitchen, and you can do your part with a purchase with purpose.
Very good. What you're doing is very cool. Jill, thanks very much for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the story of Tenneril Cellars.
Learn more by visiting TennerilCellars.com. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to the podcast at lifebetweenthevines.com or sign up to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Life Between the Vines comes to you from Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Pascoff. Our web geek is Dan Gisha. Our intern is Clement Maddox. Original music by Ray Pfister. Copyright 2022.